This is the American Dream, Dustin Rhodes, son of a plumber, daddy, and you're listening to the Bob Culture Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a very special Good Sister episode of the BCP Goodest Brother. This is long overdue. We're happy to have our special guest at this time, as they always say on certain programming. She is the Good Sister. She is the host goodest. Of Kimmy Talks Wrestling. Yeah, the Goodest Sister for sure. She is the heart and soul of RDP Promotions. Right now, she's Kimmy Quarantine. She's Kimmy Kazoo. Please welcome to the show our good friend, the unbreakable Miss Kimmy. Kimmy, welcome. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. I am currently asymptomatic and in jail. This sucks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's get right into it. So Kimmy, like, obviously you had to move everything. We don't see a giant Seth Rollins behind you. We don't see all your wrestling stuff. We don't see your roommates. You know, for those who don't know, Kimmy be very open about this. She's been in quarantine for a while. I think today came in, you tested positive, or was yesterday?
So basically, in the grand scheme of things, my roommates are both on the track team, and there was an outbreak there. My one roommate got it first, and then she got tested last Monday. She got her result last Wednesday, so I had to go into the close contact building. I then had to wait 5 days to see if I got symptoms, which never happened. I got tested Monday, got a call at 8 a.m. that I had to move again because I tested positive. But my other roommate tested negative. So I'm so confused.
It's crazy. But yeah, more important,
it's a little weird.
Yeah. It's a crazy world we live in. But more important, like you said, asymptomatic. You know, you're young, you're gonna pull through. It's us old guys you gotta worry about over here. But how are you feeling? Like, everything's good besides like going stir crazy?
Yeah, like I realized doing this, I'm so much more of a people person that I'm like, wow, there's no one around. I can't go outside. Monday was my first day going outside in 5 days. I was like, I forgot what it felt like to go into the outdoors. So I'm trying to make amends of it. I've been FaceTiming my friends like crazy. They all texted me like as soon as I text them at 8 a.m. I tested positive. Oh my God, this is crazy. And they were so supportive. They were checking on me all day. I got a couple texts today. So grateful for them and for all the present support I got from the wrestling community. Y'all the best.
There you go. That community's been there for me, and more importantly,
they really are the best.
Yeah, and that includes you, Kimmy. Like, think about it this way. Like, I know it's tough right now, but like, you're helping people not get sick. You know, you're staying out of the way. You're doing the right thing, and I know it's tough. So we thought now would be a great time to kind of have you on the show and have you tell your story. So obviously, I connected with you through Richie, who let me meet my future wife, Miss Charlie Caruso, one time. But I digress. But I saw Kimmy Talks Wrestling a few times, and you keep the content coming out. Raw, SmackDown, AEW, NXT. You're on top of that. Those episodes come out. You've done stuff with Izzy, first name drop of the episode. And Kimmy, just like, how did this wrestling stuff start for you?
Oh, we're going to start in a sad sense here. Okay.
Oh, no.
Well, okay. Happy, sad, then happy. That'll be the
order of this. Okay. A happy, sad, happy sandwich.
We got like the tissues.
Exactly. So my dad was a huge wrestling fan when he was younger, and he used to go to all like the Madison Square Garden house shows with my grandpa. Because my grandpa was a police officer, so he got like discounted or free tickets to the Garden. So I never saw wrestling with my dad ever in my entire life. And I actually started watching wrestling backwards because I didn't start watching WWE. I started with TNA.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So I started backwards in a sense. So my dad found out that TNA was doing these house shows at baseball stadiums. It was called the Baseball Tour. And they were coming to Brooklyn.
I forgot about that.
They were coming to Brooklyn MCU Park, and my dad's like, do you want to go? And like I said, I've never seen wrestling in my entire life. And I was like, sure, not knowing what the hell I was getting into. And July 2nd, 2010 was the day that changed my entire life. It was the day I found what I was meant to do with my life. I didn't know what I wanted to do with wrestling, but I knew I had to be in it. I was hooked from the moment that bell rang to start the opening match, the second the bell rang to end the main event. I loved it. And the sad part of this story is, so 4 months later, my dad actually was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So this is the sad turn of the story.
Okay.
So I'm an only child. I'm the youngest in my entire family. So for me, I really didn't have anyone around in a sense. And I was a loser in elementary school. So I didn't have a lot of friends either.
That's
so
wrong.
The only thing, oh, okay. As long incorrect. As you guys say it. As long as you guys
incorrect.
Say it.
That is incorrect.
You're just a loser. You're just a loser for hanging out with us, but go on.
No, never. So I didn't have a lot of friends in elementary school either. So then I realized
that,
exactly. Now I'm popular. So clearly.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
So I realized at a young age that clearly life is not easy and that people are going to come in and out of your life. And wrestling was the one thing that never left. And wrestling was there for me throughout my dad's entire treatment, through his testicular cancer and kidney cancer. And this May is actually 10 years that he's in remission.
Yes.
Huge. Thank you. I thought I was going to get really sad.
Okay.
No. He's in remission. I was hoping we were going to go on vacation. My dad's like, no. And I'm like, what? We have celebrate this. And wrestling also helped me through a lot of other tough times, like anxiety track and all that jazz. But yeah, that's how it really all started for me.
2010 was a great year for TNA. They had a great roster. So when you went to that show, like, who caught your attention?
Jeff Hardy.
Yes, that's one of our guys. Yes.
My second favorite.
Yeah.
I love the face paint. I love the flips. Like, I feel like Jeff Hardy just represents that wrestler that every child loves.
Yes. I was
just
a big fan of his.
Crazy. Still am. So Jeff Hardy was definitely someone that stuck out to me. And even though at the time he was a heel, AJ Styles was another big name because I was like,
oh, he's one of my favorites.
Exactly. This guy is so talented. So when he debuted in WWE, I was like, oh my God, I saw him in TNA and Ring of Honor and now he's here. Ah.
It's still surreal to me, even though it's been over 5 years. I never thought Styles would be in WWE. It's still kind of weird.
Especially hearing his story, like in 2001, he had that developmental deal and he chose no. And it's like, can you imagine how different WWE would be if he said yes in 2001?
It would be so different.
Yeah.
The amount of dream matches we would have gotten. Oh my gosh. So definitely those two. And RVD was the champion at that point. That's when he was going into his feud with Abyss. So RVD was another
person. Oh,
that's
right. Okay.
That was another person who caught my eye, who apparently is getting inducted into the Hall of Fame this year.
I heard that.
Oh, wait, what's this?
I heard that RVD got announced.
Oh, is it official?
I think so.
It is official. Okay. Oh, you know, I was excited.
I
was excited for my guy.
The one and only.
Third favorite.
But I don't understand your liking of Kane, but okay.
Not a lot of people are on like the other side of that.
We only don't like corporate Kane. Besides
no,
that.
No, corporate Kane was with Rollins. If you're going to like one style of Kane, it has to be that one. I'm sorry.
She's a Rollins girl. That's okay. Rollins is your number one now, right?
Yeah.
Yes, always will be. I have my Rollins blank in the back.
There it is.
Gargano's mine. Gargano's like my hero. Ooh. So that's my
the
dude.
Match. Rollins and Gargano needs to happen.
Yes.
I'm waiting.
I love that. The gear in that match.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny always has the heroes and Rollins had the Thanos gear at one point. So. Come on. They even like teased it on Twitter way back when, I remember that. So. But Kimmy, like obviously, and we'll talk about RDB promotions. Like you do. And do you realize, first of all, how lucky you are that you get, like I say to Vicky all the time, like she gets to work with all the legends, you know, with the 80s signing. Shout to Vicious Vicky. Second name drop.
Vivacious.
The Vivacious one.
Triple
V. Yeah, that's right. But Kimmy, like you get to work with all these talents, like and essentially meet your heroes. And let's be real, you're running a lot of the show over there. Like you handle business. Like, do you realize how lucky you are to kind of work with like these superstars a couple times a week?
So for me, I think it kind of settled in. I went actually out to lunch with Shelton Benjamin, and it was
really
just like as one would.
Name drop.
It was like 4 or 5 years ago. I remember sitting in that diner just thinking to myself, I'm out to lunch with Shelton Benjamin. What? It's crazy to me. And I'm so lucky, like you said, because even now, like since I'm kind of in the business in a sense, I get way more advice now than I would a couple years ago. Like I've had Gail Kim just look at me like, never get in the wrestling business. Kimmy, don't do it. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, Gail. So I realize now that I'm lucky, and I look at like so many of the fans that watch us on like the weekly basis, like, oh my God, Kimmy this and Kimmy that. And I mean, sorry, Richie, I am kind of stealing your thunder. Sorry. Not
wow. But shout to Richie. And real quick, we don't want to get in trouble. And Richie's my guy again for letting me meet Charlie. And more importantly, let Pete fans, you know, meet their heroes right now during a tough time in the world with these virtual signings. So shout to Richie, who is our guy. Tell everyone a little bit about RD Promotions, East Coast Auctions, what you guys do over there, and get that shameless promo out of the way so we don't get in trouble.
Oh man. I think he gets mad when I don't like plug him. And I'm like, you know, it's me then you. It's not you then me. No. I'm sorry here, Richie. So basically RDP Promotions, which to other vendors is really dumb promotions, but it's really Richie DeGreg Promotions, not really dumb. Depends on who you ask. But basically, we do virtual meet and greets with wrestlers. I think our next one is April with Brooke Adams and Chavo Guerrero.
One of our faves.
I could be wrong, but I think that's the next one. We just did Kelly Kelly on Tuesday. So go to East Coast Autograph Auctions on Facebook to watch us virtually, you know, get your stuff signed, ask questions. I do most of the work on there anyway. So if you really want to see me work, check out those virtual lives. I'm really doing a lot there.
I'll tell you what, Kimmy like keeps them in check, like no ego. Like Kimmy's like, look, get the blue pen, sign this, let's go, whoever. I love it. Like no nonsense. But how did you get involved with Richie in the first place?
So I want to say it was 2012. I went to Legends of the Ring, which was my first convention I went to. And because I just started watching WWE at that point, I barely knew anybody I was meeting. Now I do. Back then, no clue. So obviously, as I kept going to more and more conventions, I went to big event, I went to WrestleCon, I started to get close with the promoters, and Richie started doing in-person meet and greets on Staten Island, and he brought in like AJ Styles, Gail Kim, Brodus Clay, like all those wrestlers, and China. I actually met China through Richie, which was kind of cool.
Wow, that's awesome.
So basically, because I started working with him a lot, you know, he got to know me, my parents, and he teased to me in June of 2018. He goes, you know, I really want to bring you to WrestleCon to work with me. I was like, oh my God, I don't have to pay?
Yes. Yes.
That's fair.
Right. So he was working with D'Lo Brown. He goes, why don't we do your tryout right now? And I'm like, okay. If I mess up, this is going to be really bad. So D'Lo Brown was the first wrestler I worked with at Warriors of Wrestling in June. And I just started working little by little with Richie, and I got to do WrestleCon with him. And literally one day in November, he goes, you want to work for me? Let's do some virtual meet and greets with Rosa Mendez. And I'm like, all right, sure. And here I am, how many months later? 5, 6?
Wow. You're killing it, though, Kimmy. That's amazing. And Legends of the Ring, give us a call. I think this guy's coming, was it September? So just putting that out there. Yeah, there we
go. Icons of Wrestling.
Oh, Legends. Icons. Forgive me.
Legends of the Ring has Extreme Exposé in October.
Yes, yes. Ooh. That's gonna be amazing. Hashtag press pass. All right, but I digress. But Kimmy, like, that's amazing. Now, you mentioned Jeff Hardy being your favorites. Like, obviously, I asked you before, have you met Seth? Oh, do you want to tell the Seth story? I kind of want to, or do you want to skip? Skip the Seth story.
Yeah, I was gonna say, have you been starstruck by anybody?
Yeah, that's a great question.
We could tell the Seth story because this is my friend's favorite wrestling story of me.
So Seth is her favorite, and you got to meet him a few times, right? But go ahead, Kimmy. All you.
Over. So this was maybe 20. When was NXT TakeOver 1? 2014 in Brooklyn. I want to say it was 2014 because I was going into my freshman year. So the night before, my dad got tickets to the NXT TakeOver panel in the morning, and it was a VIP thing, so we got to meet all the wrestlers. I was like, Dad, Rollins is on it. And he goes, there's no way Rollins is on it. Why is he on it? And I'm like, he's the first NXT champion? Hello? And he goes, oh, man, you're going to meet Rollins again? Oh. So we're waiting online, and I was really excited. Rollins was champion at this point. He was going into SummerSlam to take that title off Cena. Oof. And I ran up the stairs and I fell up the stairs meeting Rollins.
Oh, so you fell up the stairs and it was right in front of him?
Yep. Oh, he laughed at me.
What?
And so did Triple H and Sasha Banks and Finn Balor and Kevin Owens. And I was like, this is my future boss. Oh my God, Kimmy.
Nice. Now you can bring up that story when you're working there. Did anyone come over and help you? Because, like, you know, I see that, you know, I come help the kid who fell on the stairs, right?
Yeah.
No, and then my dad just looked at Triple H and said, you would think this is the first time she met Rollins. This is the second time she's met Rollins.
Give me a, are you okay? Yeah.
Well, at least you didn't cry in front of him. When I met Bret Hart for the first time, that's my childhood idol. I couldn't even look at him. He looked at me across the room and I turned around and I walked out and my friend had to drag me back in. I was like, I can't do it. So when I finally did it and it was like I was 5 years old again and I couldn't help. I cried right in front of him. I'm like a grown ass man. And I cried, but it was well worth it. He was very sweet and very kind.
It's like when we watch The Notebook here. So lots of hashtag man tears. But to bring it back to Nunez's question, Kimmy, do you ever get like starstruck?
Yeah. Who have you been starstruck by?
No one. She's shockingly.
Over it. Oh, look at you.
Okay, so when I was younger,
I like it.
Well, no, when I was younger, I used to be really scared of the wrestlers because, you know, I'm tiny and I'm small and they're very big. And I remember, like, I go to what Bailey said on the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast, where she was like, you know, I always thought wrestlers were these bigger than life characters. And it wasn't until I started training where I realized, wow, they have hands. I have hands. They have feet. I have feet. Like, they're just normal people. And after working with so many of them, you realize, like, their whole life just isn't around wrestling. Like, they're normal people, too. Like, when I worked with Mike Kanellis, we were talking about The Office for, like, 10 minutes and Dino Nuggets. So I feel like after a period, yes, the Dundies. I'm waiting for the BCP episode of the Dundies.
Yes, we got to do that. Best smelling right here. Best smelling. There he is.
But I've realized after like periods of time, like, you know, they're just people too, like not just wrestling, you know? So I haven't gone starstruck ever, but I was scared and shy at first.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're killing it, Kimmy. Like, we're very, very proud of you. We love having you as part of, you know, the BCP family, official BCP correspondent. She has the blue BCP shirt even available now on tpublic.com. Shameless promo. But now you're in school. You're studying sports media, which I wish that I had started doing earlier. Like, this commentary thing, this podcast thing is still very new to me, believe it or not. You know, I've been a drummer for the longest time. So I wish that I was smart enough to do that. And Kimmy, you're killing it. Now the ultimate goal is, like you said, your future boss is to do commentary, not the interviews, but you want to be on commentary. You know what you want to do. You know your history. You do your stuff. So when you go to college, like, I mean, this is just like the long-term plan. You're ready to go. Like, and I'm going to see what I can do to maybe get you call a match here on the Indies. We'll see what we could do, but tell us kind of the game plan here.
So this is funny enough. So when I was in high school, like, my goal was to go to Full Sail. Like, this has been my goal since I was 9. I was
that
like,
makes sense.
I'm going to go to Full Sail. I'm going to go there for 2 years. I'm going to get noticed by Hunter, and I'm going to get signed. Like, that was the deal. And I remember my high school track coach looked at me and goes, you cannot go to Full Sail. And I was like, really? Why not? And he goes, they don't have a sports team. And I'm like, but I don't know if I wanted to track in college. And he goes, but you're going to get a scholarship. I did not get a scholarship. So clearly my coach was wrong. Anyway, so I applied to Full Sail anyway.
Okay.
And I got in. And turns out my dad is friends with the Fitzpatrick brothers, who are producers on ESPN. And they're friends with Dan Patrick, who's the head of the sports casting program at Full Sail. So I like had a whole call set up with like the dean of the sports casting school. We talked about my love of wrestling. We talked about commentary and everything. And I remember just thinking, like, this is the door. Like, this is it. And the one thing that held me back was it's a 2-year trade school. There's no like campus life. I would have to move everything down to Florida for 2 years. And even though I've been set on this since I was 9, I had the fear of what if I don't like it? Because then if I have to transfer to another school, I lose everything I just did for a year. So it doesn't make sense. Like, I'd rather go to a school that has a sports media program, try it out, see if I'm good at it. And then, okay, we'll see what we could do. And thankfully at Rider, I do. And I love the sports media program so much. We cover so much from production to writing. Like, my first class is intro to news writing. I learned how to write sports stories like crazy. We do editing and all that stuff. Like, I told you this, I do the home games for ESPN3 and ESPN+ down here, and I'm on the camera crew for that, and I'm kind of learning how to do the stuff on the truck. So I guess I really did make the right decision by coming here then Full Sail. But yes, the goal is to whatever wrestling company wants to hire me, Tony Khan, Triple H, if anyone's listening, 2023 in May, I'll be free.
Absolutely. Wow. She's got this planned out and you're making some smart moves, Kimmy. Really, really well done. And, you know, just continued success. You know, we love having you here on the BCP. You know your stuff. You're great on the panels. So why specifically commentary, though?
I always figured as a child I would be a terrible wrestler because I'm small. And I know that contradicts so many beliefs right now. Because
I was about to say, talk to Alexa Bliss.
Oh, no. I'm not getting into that. But the other thing, too, is I'm very injury prone. Like, my entire track career, I've gotten injured. I've, like, knee problems, concussions, all that jazz. So I was like, maybe wrestling's not it for me. And I was trying to think, like I was nine when I made this decision. I was going to be a commentator. I knew from day one. And I was looking and I was thinking, I go, commentary is cool. I mean, you just like sit there, say what's happening and say your opinion for like 3 hours. That can't be hard. And that's how I made my decision. And then when I started doing the stuff with you and when I started doing my YouTube channel, I'm like, oh, I'm really good at this. And even my teachers, I took sports multimedia reporting and he literally told me, that's the final I did with Izzy. He said, when are you getting your own show on the network? Because you belong in front of the camera. You do not belong behind the camera in production or anything. You have the energy and the charisma and you have a gift that nobody else has. You need to be in front of this camera. And I'm like, oh, if you're saying it, then I guess I'm doing something right here.
Absolutely. That's so cool to hear, Kimmy. And, you know, we'll do whatever we can to help you on our end. You know, you're definitely going to transcend to all of us with our little podcast here. But that's a yes. She's like, I know I am.
Who are some of your favorite commentators?
That's a good one.
JR, of course.
That's my all-time favorite.
Former guest of the BCP. Go ahead, Kimmy. Sorry.
Love him. I mean, I don't know what he's really doing in AEW right now. He has a couple botches. JR, if you ever need a replacement.
Whoa.
I love JR. I love Tony Schiavone. He's great. I feel like Jerry Lawler kind of taught me how to have a character in a sense and kind of like bring my own into what I'm saying and not be so technical like JR is. I love Corey. Corey Graves is fantastic right now on SmackDown. I'm not the biggest Michael Cole fan because I feel like he's so bland. He's just like, tonight on SmackDown, we're going to have Seth Rollins. Like, Michael, you've been doing this for 20 years. Give us some energy.
He's the straight lace guy. I'm huge on Mauro Ranallo. I love
him. Yeah, he's
great.
Yeah, that's my guy.
I hope he goes to Ring of Honor or even AEW or somewhere because he's so talented. I love him too.
I hope he comes back to NXT. That's just me. I'm an NXT guy, so.
That's awesome. This wrestling world's so crazy though, like and speaking of which, you know, like you mentioned earlier in the podcast, like wrestling has certainly been there for me. Like I really latched onto it when I was going through some tough times. You know, you mentioned to me you've been going through some tough times and wrestling was really there for you. Is that something you could speak to? I mean, whatever you're comfortable with sharing.
So I won't share every part of this. Yeah. I mean, I got a green light, but you know, green lights are green lights. So basically I talked about my track career a little bit, and my track career could be summarized in a movie. If I had to compare my track career to a wrestler, I was literally CM Punk. And I was such a heel because I questioned everything my coach did. Like if they were doing workouts I didn't like, why are we doing this? Why aren't we going to that meet? If this team's doing this and they're better than us and that's working for them, why can't we do that? I always questioned him. And it was so funny because I feel like every athlete always gets the, you know, I'd rather be on like an average team. I'd rather be average on a really big team, but I was really good on a really small team. So like my first day of practice, I was told, you're on varsity, you're going to break all the records, you're going to be the person that's the face of this whole team. Because my high school was only so new. Like, I think I was the 14th graduating class of my school. I could be wrong with that statistic. But to have all that pressure at 14 years old is huge.
Yeah.
And over time, I just felt like I was letting my coach down. And I started having this anxiety and developed into panic attacks. And wrestling really helped me during that time itself because it was the only thing that would calm me down. I would go to meets wearing wrestling shirts. I wouldn't even wear my school's gear. And my coach would be like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I want to wear this. Like, I remember the one time we were at the Armory and he goes, our team is not called the American Nightmares. Nice. Why are you wearing a Cody Rhodes shirt? And I go, because I want to. And I just like walked away from him. But especially Rollins winning the Rumble And this is so, this is a sad story, but I like the story. So when Rollins won the Rumble, about 3 weeks before, I was in a car accident. I got a concussion.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
So that's why I don't drive, guys, because I'm petrified of driving because of the accident. I was not driving in this accident, but, you know, I got injured. Scary. So before that, I was supposed to get cut from my team. And I was told on a weekly basis by my head coach, I'm not good enough to be here anymore. I don't need you. Like, your time is up. I have so many more talented people here. Mm-hmm. And I fought so hard to get this indoor season that is now going to end of something I couldn't control. And the week Rollins won the Rumble, I was told my indoor season was over. I was fighting with my best friend and I was sitting there in my loft crying that Rollins won. And I looked at him and I go, you know, when Rollins gets to Mania that you're going to, you have a month left on this team and you have a month left to prove everybody here that's saying that you're not good enough, that you, that your time is up, your prime is over. You have a month left when you get there and you're going to see Rollins get beat down every single week by Lesnar and you're going to see him get owned on the mic by Heyman, but he's going to come back every single week stronger and better. And when he wins that title at Mania, you're going to be the one section 218 screaming and crying because your idol just won. And that helped me so much just get through that time. And I was crying when Rollins won, like hysterical crying. And everyone's like, you knew he was going to win.
We were there for that. That was amazing.
Everyone's like, you knew he was going to win. I'm like, I didn't though, because Strowman also had a reason to win. So I was having panic attacks here. But wow. I could go on and on about Rollins and wrestling and everything. Like, it was so helpful for me. And without that, I don't even think I would have gone through track. No way.
It's crazy. I mean, like Nunes, like, I know you can relate, you know, Johnny's like your guy and he's inspired you. So that's so cool.
Yeah. I went through a dark time a couple of years ago. And the first match I watched with him was him and Andrade. And I watched it. I was like, whoa, who is this guy? And then I just started watching a trilogy with Ciampa. And I was at TakeOver New York when he won the NXT title. I cried with my friend. It was amazing. So he's like my modern day hero. Brett's my childhood hero. Johnny's like my guy now. But yeah, wrestling's an amazing thing, man.
Yeah, that's
it's really like cool. It's like how I told Izzy, because Izzy's story too, like wrestling helped her through scoliosis. And when I interviewed Izzy, I told her, I'm like, you know, every wrestling fan or every wrestler now has this backstory and has this point in life where wrestling helped them. What's yours? And she told me a story about scoliosis. And then, of course, like mine with track and my dad with cancer. But the other thing that was funny is Ricky Steamboat. My man, I love him. I got to work with him. I know this is so weird, but he's my favorite wrestler I ever worked with, because the night before I was supposed to get cut, I worked with him. And him and I were getting to know each other. And my dad came up to us and my dad goes, why don't you tell Ricky like the predicament you're in for tomorrow? And Ricky just gives me that disappointing look. Like, what did you do? And I go, I didn't do anything. It's not me. So I like quickly told him, like, you know, like I'm not listening to my coach. My team wants me gone and all this stuff. And he looked at me and he laughed and he goes, Kimmy, you know, your coach likes you, right? And I'm like, what? And he goes, he's showing you in a very poor way, but look at it like this. If you were my athlete and you came up to me and said, you know what, I don't like your workouts, I'm not listening to them, I'm doing my own thing, I would cut you on the spot. Your coach gave you 3 months to improve and 3 months for you to realize who the hell you were to not do that. And who cares about what everyone else is saying about you? Because tomorrow that race is all you. And it doesn't matter what anyone says. All you got to do is run with your heart and everything will come to you. I promise. And I kid you not, the next day I was freaking out, anxiety. I was yelling at people, all that jazz. And when my assistant coach came over to me, he goes, you know, your head coach won't yell at you, but maybe during your indoor season, he will. And he winked at me and I go, indoor season? Me? Why is that in the same sentence without is not having one? And my head coach, he was like, yeah, I'm not cutting you. And I'm like, oh, I won. Wow. I won at life. Let's go. And I was so happy. And I remember just coming up to Ricky the next day and being like, you know, I got my spot. And he goes, you did? You did it? You got your spot back? You made me proud? Oh, my God. And I'm like, is this real life? Is this a WWE Hall of Famer saying this to me? What? And I remember texting my coach that night and he goes, that's awesome. Like, that's such a cool story that you're going to remember forever. And I'm like, yeah, he gave me more motivation than you ever did. Yikes. So me and my coach are on good pages now. I text him that I had COVID and he felt so bad for me. He goes, "Aw, you okay there?" And I'm like, "No, I'm dying. I'm lonely.
Yeah, no, I know you're lonely, but hang in there, Kimmy. You're doing the right thing.
It'll be over before you know.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll appreciate everything just that much more, Kimmy. And you're keeping people safe. That's what's important. But it sounds like you've had an amazing wrestling journey, Kimmy. That's so awesome to hear. I do want to ask one hard-hitting question like we always do here on the BCP. Little bit of a, you know, digging deep here. What is the origin of the hashtag Kimmy Shimmy?
Oh man, I was gonna ignore that one. All right, so November.
I think Kelly asked you that, right?
Every wrestler asks me that. Doesn't matter who it is. It could be Rollins could ask me that for all I know.
You're famous.
I'm trying to think when it was. I want to say it was like December or January because I was home. So we were working with Ty Conti. Ty Conti's from Brazil, and these Brazilians can dance like no tomorrow. So we were working with Ty Conti, and Ty Conti was trying to get Richie to dance. So Richie goes, and everyone's like, "Oh my God, Kimmy needs to try. And I'm like, "Really? Me? Oh, I didn't even dance at my prom. Are you kidding me?" So I go to her, and she's playing the Brazilian music, and you know, I did track. My footwork's pretty good, but her footwork, oh my God, I couldn't keep up. So I just literally stood there and I went like this. And the other promoter who was there, Bill Paley, he was like, "Kimmy Shimmy, that's the thing, that's it." And here we are how many months later, and I get asked to do the Kimmy Shimmy every single week when we do lives with Richie. I hate it.
Well, now she's hashtag Kimmy Quarantine, and that won't last too much longer. Hang in there, Kimmy. You know, everyone, like we said on Facebook, I know Bill sent you a bunch of matches to watch. Everyone, please suggest some matches for Kimmy to watch. Kimmy, if you're going to write a movie script, now's the time to do it. If you're going to write a book, the memoirs, whatever it is.
What are some of the matches that people have suggested?
Let's see. I've gotten the Flair Steamboat trilogy a couple times. I've gotten Guerrero Lesnar when Guerrero won the title.
I cry every time.
Do you really?
Yep.
It's true. He does.
It's very emotional.
So
that ending is so good.
I did watch the Midnight Express versus the Southern Boys, which was the first match Bill suggested to me from WCW Great American Bash. And I'm like, oh my God, I never even heard of the Southern Boys, and they're really freaking good. I've been getting recommended a lot of NXT stuff, a lot of Bayley and Sasha. And I'm just like, where are the Rollins matches on this list, people?
Well, my suggestions, obviously, every Gargano takeover match from 2018, because they're all great. And that's not even me being biased. They're all great. Brett versus Mr. Perfect, SummerSlam 91. That's like the blueprint of a wrestling match. So the burning question is, nice, no pun intended, why Rollins? Like, why is he your favorite?
I love that segue of the burning.
I had to.
He's a pro. That's why he's here.
Obviously. So I go back to when he was in the Shield, right? And when you look at the Shield, you looked at Roman and you looked at Dean. And Roman was, of course, like the heavyweight, the strong man, and Ambrose was the crazy lunatic. And Rollins was just in the back, like lurk. Like, I don't want to say like.
That was the two-colored hair, right?
Oh, yes, the blonde and the brown, because too many people in NXT had long brown hair and he was intimidated by it. So he was like, I'm going to do half blonde and be different. Right. And that's a true story. He said that at the NXT panel. But I felt like Rollins was just kind of in the background. He was just chilling. I don't want to say he was forgotten about, but I felt like everyone just didn't really think of him. So when he did turn heel, it was just such this bigger deal. And because I related to him so much in that, because I'm like, you know, when I was younger, like all these sports teams I was on, I was kind of like the forgotten one. And I got to high school and it was boom, heel turn, boom, defining authority, boom, doing this. And I'm like, that's me. I am Rollins. This is perfect. And that's how, and even outside the Seth Rollins character and just him and like his normal personal self, like we have a lot in common. We like the same music. We're both Chicago Bears fans. I know he's very upset about this Andy Dalton signing like I am, because Andy Dalton just
I'm happy
play.
About it.
Why? He can't play football.
I'm a Packers
he's
fan.
He's a Packers so. Fan. There it is.
Oh, man. No, he's got to go. Your QB's got to go, too. He's like 100 years old.
So, and he's better than everybody in the league. but can we both agree that we hate the Vikings?
Nuna's about to drop the mic.
Can we just say that?
I hate Minnesota. Yeah,
okay,
I hate Minnesota.
All right. I don't mind the Bears. I don't mind the Lions. I hate the Vikings.
I mean, the Lions will never get above fourth place in our division anyway.
That's why I don't really mind them. Because
exactly, you know. The Vikings just stand in our way every single season. Yeah, and I'm just like, you gotta move. Yeah. But yeah, so that's where Rollins really stuck. And like I said before, like Rollins has been there a lot for me for very tough times. And I'm enjoying his character and his vlogging right now. Like these videos he's posting on Twitter, it like makes my day. And it's like every time I have a bad day, he posts a video, and I'm like, he knows. Like we're on the same wavelength. He gets it.
All right, so Kimmy, everyone's obviously giving you these matches. How much does it mean to you? Because I know how much it's meant to me that this wrestling community has embraced you as a friend, as you know, as we have as part of the team here on the BCP Shameless Promo. You know, everyone's really been there for me, and I'm friends with a lot of people that I haven't even really met. You know, we talked to Kyle up in Canada, where apparently they don't have conventions, but I digress. How much does it mean to you to make all these friends and just have all that support, even right now when you're going through quarantine?
Shout out to Kyle, who literally been my Lord and Savior, just calming me down. It's like, it's okay, aww, Kimmy. Like, everything's going to be fine. Hashtag friend of me. But it means a lot. It's crazy to me. Just, like, the amount of comments that you and I got on that post, I was like, oh, my Lord, that's so many matches. But it's honestly crazy that I have all these fans and this community in all different parts of the world that I've never been able to physically go to watch my stuff or even like be a friend. Or even like Richie has customers in the UK that are like talk to me all the time, which is like the UK. I haven't even left the country yet. Damn. But it means the absolute world to me. Even though the internet wrestling community gets its bashes, it's a pretty cool community once you get in it and you meet some pretty cool people like you guys and Kyle and Bill and Tiff and all those wonderful humans out there.
Awesome, Kimmy. Yeah. And you know what? Just we're very proud of you, Kimmy. Keep killing it. You know, obviously stay healthy over there.
Yes, please.
And you know, like as we've learned, you know, this business can be very, very crazy and sometimes just not pleasant at times. So, you know, I've told you this a million times. You say everyone tells you this. Just be careful moving forward. Always have your guard up, but you know, just always, you know, listen to advice and keep those people that you trust very, very close. And, you know, some people have gotten to bat for me. That's how I got my start on commentary. So, you know, if you ever get a chance, you know, we get one of these socially distanced shows or anything like that, we'll try to get you in on a match because that's how I got my start. We'd definitely love to help you. You'll probably put me to shame. But speaking of shame, let's get that shameless promo out of the way. Miss Kimmy, what a segue. And I do hear there may be there may be Kimmy shirts on the way. I'm hearing this, little rumors here and there. But Kimmy, a little shameless promo, please. You know the deal.
Yeah, so I'm hoping to get shirts out by the summer. My designer is also my roommate, who is the one who gave me COVID. So once we're able to be in the same place again, I think that's something that we're going to work on because we've been talking about it for a little bit. But if you want to just follow my Twitter to just hear me rant and retweet everything Rollins, Kimmy_WWE, follow the Instagram at Kimmy Talks Wrestling, YouTube also at Kimmy Talks Wrestling. And you know, it's WrestleMania season. There's so much coming up. I'm hoping that Rollins's gear drip is as good as his suit drip has been lately. And it I'm waiting been. For that Seth drip and Rollins shirt that all my friends are like, oh my God, if you get that, I don't think I could talk to you ever again. And I'm like, but it's so great. How can you not? And I have my kazoos here.
The Kimmy kazoos?
I brought them with me. Just because I was like, you know, maybe, possibly, I'll be here for like, I'll be here Kimmy for kazoo. So long. So I brought it.
Watch them. I don't know if you've ever looked it up. Watch the Edge and Christian segments when they play the kazoo. And they play all the wrestlers' theme songs. They're hilarious.
Oh, my God. We on Raw when Xavier Woods played AJ Styles' TNA theme with the trombone.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. I didn't notice it, but someone put it on Instagram. Like, he's playing his old theme, and he started singing it, too. I was like, oh, it went right over my head. Right? Yeah, it was something like that, right? So good. But, all right, Kimmy, but awesome to talk. Oh, real quick, do we plug Kimmy Talks Wrestling YouTube?
Got yes, it. That it.
We got all right. That's ever you've done this before.
We got everything. I'm a king at the shameless promo.
All right.
I learned from you, Rob.
Oh, please. Man at it. Yeah, there you go. She's a Seth Rollins gal. But I'll tell you what, Kimmy, since we're signing off, you want to do the commentary thing? You want to sign off for us? You want to hit him with the stay safe, stay positive?
Oh, boy. Now I get to take your ending. Oof.
By all means.
I got to see if I can remember it all. Make sure to stay safe, be positive. I'm forgetting a part.
Take care.
Take care. Be healthy. I don't know.
Take care of each other. All right, Kimmy, thanks for doing this. We out. Stay safe and feel better. And to your roommate, get better. All right, guys, stay safe. We out. Peace.